Good morning. Oh, you guys are awake. I love it. Hey, if there's any visitors here, and it's telling you right now, I am not Pastor Josh. If you want to hear a good preaching, come back next week. Josh will be back, all right? Just filling in for you this week as he's over with the teens. Turn to Luke chapter 10 with me, please. Luke chapter 10. Going to read a few verses to get started here. Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38, and it starts there. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to Martha, 'Martha, Martha, Martha.'" Okay, that's not in there. I shouldn't add that. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray this morning. Father God, we are so thankful for your love for us. Father, we'd like to pray this morning for Josh. He's just across the street meeting with the teens. Just pray that you'd guide him and give him the words to say. Father, I pray that you would open those hearts of those teens. Help them to be able to maybe understand your love in a little clearer way today. Father, would they leave there being able to say that God's way is best. Our heart is for them to understand how much you love them and to make decisions that show that. Father, we're thankful for the time we can have over here, and may we also get a little better glimpse of who you are and how you love us. And may we leave here saying God's way is best. May you guide this morning, and we'll be thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and I was asked to preach this morning. I was asked a couple months ago, and I'm like, what am I going to preach on? Well, something kind of been on my heart, and I'd been thinking about it already. So I'm like, yeah, I can preach. And so the more I studied that, I was studying, and it just kept kind of coming together. I'm going, oh, this is good. And the whole time that I was doing it, a song kept coming to my head. A song I learned at a camp when I was up in Canada. And I'm going, no, God, I'm not singing that in front of the church. I mean, that's a good song, and it applies, it makes sense, but God, I'm not doing it. So I kept studying, and I kept studying, and I kept studying. And God kept bringing that song up to me again and again and again. And I'm going, God, I ain't doing it. I'll do anything, but I ain't singing and embarrassing myself in front of the church. Well, we're to see what happens this morning. But I figured it would be a lot less embarrassing if y'all help me. Okay, it's got some y'all. Yeah, I've been down in Texas for a few days, and I'm trying to get it out of my system. This song is really a little ditty that I learned at a camp. And in order to do it, though, it's called The Main Thing. But in order for it to happen, I'm going to split you into like three sections. So we'll do the outside section. You two middle sections are the second one, and you guys are the third. You got to practice this. Over here, when I point at you, you got to go, oh, yeah. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Oh, yeah. You got to give a little more effort. If I'm going to embarrass myself up here, you all got to trail harder. One more time. One, two, three. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, middle section. You guys are, uh-huh. Okay, why don't you practice it with me? Ready? One, two, three. Oh, that, you guys learned. I don't want to say you're better than them, but you're better. Okay. All right, third section over here. You guys over here, you got kind of the countryside of this. So you guys are all going to go, yee-haw. Ready? One, two, three. Yee-haw. Oh, that is good. Now if I can just, Lord, get me out of this so I don't have to do this song. Here's how that song goes. And when I point at you, you do what I tell you to, what I taught you. We've got to practice one more time. What is it? All right. The main thing in life is keeping the main thing. The main thing in life is keeping priorities straight. The main thing in life is keeping the main thing. The main thing, let Jesus take complete control and he'll be the main thing. He'll be the main thing. He'll be the main thing. Oh, my God. I'm never doing that again. I can't believe I did that. We can start recording now. Okay, we can get. This morning, the question is, what is your main thing? What is your main thing? What is the thing that you center your life around? What is that thing that you spend your time, your energy, your resources, and your emotions on? What is that one thing? As I look around the world, I see that they center their lives around a lot of different things. One of the things I see sometimes is people center their lives, say, around sports. They love sports. The sports has to do with everything. It's what they do on Sundays. It's what they do all the time. And they just center their life around that. We see people that center their lives around their careers. Ever heard of that? People that say, oh, I've got to work my way up. I've got to get this job. I've got to keep getting these promotions. And they'll sacrifice anything because that is their main thing. It is their career. Some people's main thing has to do with money. I just got to make more money. I got to make this much. Oh, now that I make that much, now I got to make some more. And I got to make more money. It's the almighty dollar. And they'll do whatever it takes, even if it's illegal, huh, to be able to get the money. Are there people around that do that? Am I just whistling dicks? Is this true? This is true. People will do that for money. Some people center their lives around pleasing others. Everything they do has to do with making the people around them happy. Even though they know they should be doing this, they will make decisions based on what makes the people around them happy. And they give up all kinds of stuff because of that. There's people that will center their lives around pleasure. What is that next big rush? What is that next thing that feels good? I was talking to a kid that used to be in my class and man, did a few things. And man, I just got to feel good. I want to forget some of these feelings I have from some of the stuff that happened in the past. So I just want to feel good. So I've tried drinking alcohol. I went to marijuana. And then I found out after talking to an ongoing, they even shot up with heroin. And I'm going, you did what? You did what? I said, Brian, I got to have that rush. I got to have something that makes me feel good. I got to, and their life is built around forgetting the past and finding something that makes them feel good right now. And that's what they center their whole life around. They steal. They do whatever they can to get money to do what? To get that drug so that they can have that pleasure that they're seeking. There's people that build their lives around religion. That is not Snyder Bible Church, people. Snyder Bible Church is about relationship. Some people try to say, you know what, it's about religion. Well, I read my Bible 3 hours this morning. How many hours did you read your Bible? Well, I prayed this morning for 45 minutes. I bet you only prayed for like 30 minutes. Well, you know, I gave up this for God, and I gave up that. And people are going, I'm doing all these things for God, and I'm building my life around that. That don't get you to heaven. That doesn't get you happy. That's just centering your life around religion. Some people like to center their lives around some idea. I think of those gals that do the Miss America contest. When you interview all of them, what is it you want to do in life? I want world peace. See, like some people build their lives and center their lives around some kind of an idea, and that's what they want to spend all their time doing. My question for you today is, what do you center your life around? I would like to challenge you. In 2018, it's being January and all, I'm going, I'd like to challenge you in 2018 to center your life around meeting with your Creator. I'd like to just throw that out at you this morning. I would like for you to consider centering your life around meeting with your Creator. This is the part of the sermon that I didn't like. When I'd hear a pastor say something like that, Brian, I want you to center your life around Jesus. And I'm going, oh, no. Because now he's going to ask me to give up all that stuff that I like to do and all the fun stuff. Because if I'm going to center only on Jesus, then I've got to get rid of all the other stuff, right? And the truth is, it's not true. This is about priorities. It's not about giving up everything for Jesus and acting like a monk. I'm going, that is not what Jesus is after. But Jesus says, I love you and I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to center your life around me. Matthew 6:33. Does anybody know what that says? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice it doesn't say, but seek ye only the kingdom of God. He could have said that if that's what he meant, right? But instead he says, you know, I want you to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not only, and I'm going, well, what does that mean to Brian? Well, sometimes I think when we are at church and we hear somebody say, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to center your life on him. People start going, oh, no, it means I'm going to have to give up all the good stuff in life. We've forgotten what it says in James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. God gives you good gifts. Has God given anybody in here a good gift? Can you raise your hand? Has God given you a good gift of some kind? Husbands, if you're here right now and your wife is beside you and you need to raise your hand, you should get whacked right now. God gives us so many good things, and he doesn't expect us to give up those things in order to center our lives around him. I was thinking about this. How does that apply to Brian? I'm going, you know what? My cousin Tim here, I like cousin Tim. And every once in a while, I'll say, hey, Brian, why don't you come out of the house and we'll do something? I'm like, all right. I said, wait a minute, I can't. Not in 2018, because I'm centering my life around Jesus. So I don't have any more time for Tim. And I'm going, that doesn't make sense. You all know that I just be him grandpa, right? Her name is Nora Bell, and she is the cutest little bugger in the world. And this last week, we got a video where she smiled. I think it was gas. But anyway, she smiled. I thought it was because somebody mentioned grandpa. That's what I'm going with. But she smiles, and my kids go, hey, can you come down and visit? I'm like, no, I can't in 2018 because I'm going to center my life around Jesus. Guys, centering your life around Jesus says you still have a lot of other good things that God has given you to enjoy. Man, he's given me that amazing granddaughter. I get to enjoy that. I get to enjoy my friendship with Tim Grauberger, although some of you guys may not enjoy your relationship with Tim, but I do, okay? There's a lot of things. He gives us so many things. How many of you have a job that you kind of enjoy? Anybody? And you're going, oh, wait a minute, you're becoming a workaholic, and God said you shouldn't center your life around your work. There is nothing wrong with enjoying your work. God has given you gifts, talents, and abilities, and he lets you enjoy that. He says, but first, seek ye first me. He says, center your life around me. Here's the truth that I want to get to today. If you can get the idea of that song that I sang earlier out of your head. By the way, some of you guys are going to be singing that in the shower. That song will stick in your head. The main thing in life. And you guys are going to start clapping. It's going to happen to somebody in the church. It's going to. That song sticks in your head. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this next part. This is the truth of what I'm trying to get to today. Centering our lives around the things of this world lead to disappointment and dissatisfaction. But centering our lives around our relationship with our Creator leads to a purpose-filled life that is full of God's love, God's provision, and God's peace. And that is absolute truth. I'm going to read it one more time. Centering our lives around the things of this world are going to lead to disappointment and dissatisfaction. You're going to get done. You're going to be going, that's all there is to it? That's it? Uh-huh. That's what's going to happen. But if you center your life around your relationship with your Creator, you're going to have a purpose-filled life that is full of God's love, that is full of God's provision, and God's peace. Come to this part here. I'm going in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He's looking at the Israelites as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and he's looking at them, and he's saying, choose this day whom you're going to serve. And that's basically what I'm asking you to do this morning. I want you to choose this day. Choose this day what your number one priority is going to be for 2018. Choose this day. What I love about it is that, boy, Joshua takes it right to you. He doesn't, you guys just think about that. Mull that over, and then tell me what you think. He goes, nope, today, Austin, today. You're going to choose this day. And that's what I love about the Word of God. It takes you right to a point of decision. And it says today, you get to choose what is going to be your number one priority for 2018. Now, before we get to the part where we actually do that, I think there's a couple of questions that I ought to answer for you concerning this. The first one is, what can I expect if I choose to center my life around meeting with my Creator? What can I expect if I choose to center my life around meeting with my Creator? Turn to Psalms chapter 24, please, or Psalms 84. Psalms 84, there's a couple of cool verses here I'd like to share with you that will tell you, what can you expect if you this morning, you say, you know what, my number one priority for 2018 is going to be to center my life around meeting with my Creator. What's going to happen? What can I expect? Here we go. Psalms 84, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. And it says this, it says, and the first part sounds like a song because somebody made it into a song. It says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let's stop right there for a second. Obviously, the guy that wrote this psalm is going, I'm talking about, guys, where I like to be, where I like to meet. He's going, I like to be where God's at. I like to be right around where he's at. And when back then God wasn't inside here, God was there. And he said, you come to God, you'd come to the temple, and that's where you met God. I'd rather spend all one day there than 1,000 outside. I'd rather be at least right outside the door where I'm close to God rather than out doing all these foolish things. So he's talking about where he wants to spend his time. Look at verse 10. What can you expect then? He says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. I go, what does the sun give us? What does the sun give us? Sun gives you some warmth. Sun gives energy. The sun gives growth. You can't grow plants without the sun. I don't mean to get into a science lesson here, but there's this thing with a big word called photosynthesis. And plants cannot get the food that they need without that, without the sun. Here he says, the psalmist says, you know what? The Lord, he's our sun. He's the one that's going to provide for you. He's going to give you warmth. He's going to give you energy. He's going to provide for you. And when that's what you can expect, then what does he say? And he says, he is your sun and he is your shield. What does a shield do? What does a shield do? It protects you. It protects you. I needed a shield many times in my basement when the boys would be downstairs and they'd invite their cousins over, Richie and Roy, and they'd be playing baseball and different stuff in our little basement, and balls would be banging off of stuff and going crazy. When you went down there, believe me, you needed a shield. You needed something to protect you from all the mayhem that was going on down there. It was nuts. You choose to spend time with your Creator. You're going to find out that he provides for you and that he is a shield for you. He has given you his word. There are many things in this world that will lead to destruction and will hurt you. And because God loves you and God cares about you, he gave us this book. And he says, I'm going to tell you not to do certain things. And he's going to do that because he created us. He made us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what gives us pure joy and happiness. And he says, I'm going to tell you to stay away from some things for your own good, Brian, because you're not smart enough to figure it out on your own. That is the absolute truth. I read here, it says you should only have one wife. That is a good thing. What would my life be like if I had Dawn and I found another wife on the side? What do you suppose it would be like? Short. Yes, it would be short. He's going, Brian, I'm going to protect you because that's dumb. She's going to kill you. Do not do that. The Bible tells me how to do things with my family, how to raise my kids, how to do. Why? Because he's trying to protect me. He tells me when they're little, he says, don't you spare the rod, you spoil the child. He said, Brian, make that kid learn how to obey. Because I care about you, and there's going to be a whole lot of pain down the road if you don't listen to this. God wants to protect us so much. This psalmist understood that. He says, being close to God is like he's your son. He's your protection. What else does he say? Then he says, the Lord gives grace and glory. And then he says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. As you spend time meeting with your Creator and getting into his word, you are going to find out there's certain things you should do and certain things you shouldn't do. You're going to find out how he wants you to walk. And as you learn to walk the way he wants you to walk, he says there's going to be good things in your life. Here's a dumb question, but it's a question that has to be answered. Do you want good things in your life or do you want bad things in your life? And you guys think, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard, Brian. I'm going, I see the way some people do things and I see the pain they're going through. And I'm going, did you not know that was leading to that bad thing, to that bad result? Here he says, you make me your priority, and you're going to have good things come into your life because you're going to know how to walk. You're going to know how to treat your wife. You're going to know how to deal with other people. You're going to know how to forgive. You're going to learn things, Brian, and I'm going to change you, and you're going to learn things, and it's going to make your life so much better. That's what he wants. He wants to give us good things. And he said, it says, so no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He says, oh, Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Do you know what you're going to find out if you decide to make meeting with your Creator your number one priority? You're going to be meeting with him each morning as you meet with him and as you open yourself up to him. You're going to find out that he is trustworthy. You're going to find out that as you're going through life, he has said he will never leave you or forsake you. And as you go through life, you're going to know that because you're going to experience that. When tough things come in this life, you're going to be able to go, oh my golly, he was right. I don't know how many people I've talked to who have went through bad situations, whether it's cancer or problems with a baby or whatever, and at the end of it, they come back and they, And they're going, man, I'm glad people prayed for me because I know that God was there with me all the way through this. And as you do that, you're going to learn that you can trust God. And as you trust God, there's going to be incredible things. Let's go to another verse there in Psalms. Psalm 16:11. This is one I didn't know existed until this last year, and now it's one of my favorite verses. I love this verse. Psalm 16:11. Again, if you choose to make meeting with your Creator the center of your life, you're going to have provision, protection. Good things are coming your way. You're going to learn you can trust Him. And here's a few more things you're going to get with that too. It's verse 11. It says this. It says, 16:11. It says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Guys, He will make known to you the path of life. If you choose to make meeting with your Creator your number one priority, you are going to learn that God is going to show you the path to really living. I mean, not just getting by, not just doing this life. Yeah, some people, how you doing? Getting by. Just getting by. You know, I'm here. You're going to learn the path of life. This is what He's telling you right there. He will make known to you the path of life, how to really enjoy life, how to get the most out of this life. That's what you're going to get. And then He says after that, He says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Joy is so much deeper than happiness. Will you have happiness? Yeah, you'll have happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances around you. And do good things happen once in a while and you're going, hey, I feel good about this. Yeah, that's happy. But He says, you're going to have fullness of joy in His presence. Joy is so much deeper. One of the things that Josh taught us as he was going through the Christmas story several years ago, and I wrote it right in my Bible, about joy, is that the definition is, it is an endless source of delight. You are going to have this joy that is endless, and that source is going to be in God, and there is no way anything in this world is going to be able to touch it. There is nothing in this world that is going to be able to touch it. He does things for you that this world can't begin to touch. He's taken care of your eternity. He's promised to be with you at all times. No matter what happens, God is with you. And God has taken care of your eternity. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, it's done. It's taken care of. We forget about that sometimes. This life is about this long. Even if you live 80, 90, 100 years, the rest of life is from here to the wall. That's eternity. That's forever. And God has taken care of that for you. Does that add a little bit of joy to anybody's life, knowing that that's happened? This next part. And it says, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How many of y'all like pleasure? Oh, I can't. I'm a Christian. We're not supposed to have pleasure. Yes, we are. We were created to have pleasure. We were created to have pleasure because of our relationship with God. And He gives us things that, man, we are a messed up church if we're not supposed to have pleasure. I enjoy doing some things. I love going out and shooting guns with the guys of this church. I love watching things blow up. We go out and we have some fun. And I'm not supposed to be having fun during this. Then why on the video when we're showing certain things getting blown up, I'm going, woohoo! And I didn't mean to say that. It just comes out because I'm enjoying myself. Sitting there holding that little baby when we got to our granddaughter, I'm just going, aw. And then I put her on my chest and her little butt squiggle. I shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Her little butt squiggles up here. And they do that little cuddling and little noises. And I'm going, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to enjoy this. I'm supposed to be centering my life on Jesus. No, God gave her to me as a gift. And I'm supposed to, my heart was ready to explode. I was so happy. And I'm like, man, this is cool stuff. We're supposed to have pleasure. But it says here, in your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Even as much enjoyment as I get out of that baby. And I get out of blowing things up with guys in this church. And I get out of playing sports and doing other things. That doesn't even begin to touch the pleasures that we're going to have in eternity, I don't think. We think of eternity as going, okay, we're going to be up there playing harps on clouds and do it. Wrong! Stuff can be so good and fun down here, and it's going to be 100 times better than that. If we're blowing up little stuff up, you suppose God's going to let us blow up stuff up there? I don't know. But in heaven, it's going to be fun. He's going to give us so much, and it's going to be great. It says there are pleasures forevermore. Man, what can you expect if you choose to center your life around meeting with your Creator? You get provision. You get protection. Good things are coming your way. You're going to have joy that this world can't touch. You're going to have pleasures forevermore. And He's going to show you how to really live in this life and how to really enjoy things here. I'm sorry if I get a little fired up about stuff, but my wife is like, man, you sure are passionate about that. I'm crazy, I know. The second question I'd like to answer for you is, what will it look like daily if I choose to make meeting with my Creator the main thing? What is it going to look like? What does it mean to meet with your Creator daily? Turn back to those verses we read at the very beginning, Luke chapter 10. Some of you were going, Brian, you read the verses. You didn't even say anything about them. That's all right. We are going to now. Okay, we're going to do that right now. Sometimes when people think, well, okay, you're going to meet with your Creator. What does that mean? Well, how long do I have to spend? I mean, in the morning, my Creator, what do I have to do, Brian? Do I have to read a devotional for an hour? Do I have to pray for an hour? Do I sing for an hour? Well, what do I do? You know what? I've been looking through this book here called the Bible that he gave us, and I don't see where it tells you how much time you have to spend doing that. I don't see where he says you have to sit down and do this devotional. I don't see it. I don't see it. What I do see is what we read there about Mary and Martha. And I'd like to go to verse 42. This is after the Martha, Martha, Martha. You're so worried and you're bothered about so many things. In verse 42, he says, but only one thing is necessary. Do you realize how intense that is? Jesus would look at you this morning saying, only one thing is necessary for you. One thing. He says, and Mary got it right. And Martha's going, oh, what'd she do? I need to know what'd she do. Let's look back over and see. Look over here, verse 39. It says, and she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to the word. So what did Mary do? She sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his word. And I'm going, what does God want us to do to meet with him, with our Creator? He wants us to sit at his feet. It was easy for Mary. Jesus was right there. And if Jesus was right here, you'd find me sitting right by his feet. We can sit at his feet, his word. He says, I am the word. Here he is. We can sit at his feet and we can listen. I was interesting. I wonder why it didn't say, well, you can be close to him. You can walk around him and listen to his word. You can be standing and listen to his word. He says, no, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm going, what does that mean for Brian? I'm going, sitting means you have to stop. You have to slow down with all the other junk going on in your life and just sit. Sit. Don't be distracted by all the other stuff going on, but just sit down. Many times Jesus, when he needed recharged, what did he do? He went out by himself someplace away, usually to the mountains. I love that part about Jesus. He's a mountain man. But he'd go out there and he'd be by himself. He says, sit at the feet of Jesus. Go someplace where you're going to be by yourself, where it's going to be quiet. And it says, and listen to his words. Open up his word and sit there quietly and say, God, I want to read your word. I want to meet with you this morning. It's not about being religious and saying, I read a chapter today. It's about, I want to meet with you. I want to get to know you better. And God, by the way, would you help me really understand what that means to meet with you? I mean, and just this little prayer, just have this little talk with him and read his word and let it happen. Let it happen. What's cool is that nowadays we have so many different tools that can help us do this, sitting down and meeting with Jesus, just sitting at his feet, listen to his word. I remember when I first got saved, I was like 6 years old, and I was like, I didn't get the idea of meeting with Jesus every day. It wasn't until I was in high school and somebody challenged me, Brian, you doing a devotional every day? And I'm going, what is that? Maybe I'll tell you. I don't know. What is it? Well, you need to be reading at least a chapter. Sometimes I'd read a chapter and I'd go, okay, I read it. What does that mean to me? But I sat down, I got in a quiet place, and God started teaching me some things. I found other things more helpful to me when I first was a Christian. Daily bread. What a great thing. It has a verse. It talks about it a little bit, and then it has some little thing at the bottom that rhymes, it's usually a poem or something, that kind of sticks in your head, so you're thinking about whatever that was about Jesus that day. That's a great thing. There are other devotions out there. I'm not telling you which one you have to do. There's a bunch of them. Ladies, Proverbs 31, women's ministry, they have a fantastic devotion. You get on there, there are ladies that love Jesus. Are they perfect? No, they're not perfect, but you know what? They love Jesus, and they're trying to have a relationship with him. They're trying to grow, and they write devotions. And how do I know they're good? You guys are going, Brian, do you secretly read that women's devotion? No, I don't. But my wife, and every once in a while, she goes, oh, this is a good one. You got to read it. And I'm going, hon, it's a Proverbs 31. That's for women. I'm a manly man. I don't do that kind of thing. Of course, then I'd read it, and I go, oh, that was good. That was good. Guys, there's one more tool that I started using about a year ago, and it came from Kyle. when he moved down to Texas down there to do it, be at that Christian camp. He says, Dad, we do this to devotion. We do it with all of our high school kids that he's in charge of and all these college kids. And we do this. And he says, this is just the best devotion I've ever found. I'm going, yeah, whatever. Okay, you're down in Texas. You think everything's better and bigger in Texas. I get it. And I didn't give it any credence at all. And then he says, try it, Dad. And I tried it for a week. And I'm going, ooh, that is good. That is solid. It's called First 15. And it's about spending your first 15 minutes in the morning with God. And as I'm looking at it, woo-hoo-hoo, it worked. Look at there. Okay, this is the first 15. All you have to do is, if you want to Google first 15 devotional, it'll come up and it'll say, oh, the first 15 devotional. You click on that, and up there at the top it says, today's first 15. There you go, click on that puppy. You click on it, and it'll give you the devotion for that day. And why do I like this? I'm not saying you have to do this one. But it tells you, there's kind of an overview of what we're talking about. Freedom through enjoying God and why we should spend time with God. A little thing, and that's the same all week long. So once you read that once, you don't have to reread that every day. It's kind of the theme for the week. Go on down a little bit, would you? Good, there's a scripture verse. And it gives you a piece of scripture to think about right off the beginning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And come on down a little farther. It has a worship thing here where it has a song for you to listen to. I love that. I love music. But I got to tell you, I don't love all this music. When you're listening, you're going to find some of it, you're going, oh, I love that song. And others are going to be going, who is that weirdo and why are they trying to sing that way? You know, there is different people that have stuff on there. But it all has to go with whatever the theme is that day. And if you can get by the fastness or the slowness of the music, and you can get by... It's so funny, as they're doing some of this music, there's a nice serene scene in the background, somebody paddling across a nice big pond, and I'm going, ooh, I like that, and they have the song going, and other times they show where there's this group of people in a house, and they're all doing this praise stuff together, and that drives me a little bonker. Sometimes I have to shut my eyes when I'm listening to the music, because there's all these people trying to figure out what it means to worship God, and there's people doing all kinds, and I'm not saying if you do that, that's right or wrong, I'm just saying it's an interesting thing for me to do, but you listen to the words, and those words are from God's word, and they drive home the point of what's going on. So you do that and go on down. So I usually do that at the very end. They have this devotional here, and again, you're going to have quite a few words, quite a few verses stuck right in here, two or three key verses, and somebody that's been spending some time thinking about this going, how does that apply to Dustin? How does it apply? And they come up with stuff, and you're going, ooh, that makes me think. That makes me understand things better. Going up a little farther. Then it comes to a time, it's the prayer time. I don't know about you, but when I was a new Christian, it's like, pray, what does that mean? Okay, God, thank you. Be with me today. Help me to understand this. I wasn't sure how to pray. They give you some guidance, so it's like guided prayer. And the first thing there, reflect on your need for joy and pleasure. I can't think about, man, God, I love life, and I love some of these things, and you give me such joy and such pleasure, and I understand that all of that comes from you. Thank you for that. There's part of my prayer. Then it says, in what ways are you seeking fulfillment that's in the world? Am I trying to please people too much? Am I trying to chase the almighty dollar too much? And you start thinking about that, and you're going, is that me? Is that me? And if you're going, and you're talking to God, and you're saying, God, if that's what I do, man, I need to change something. And you just have a little talk with God. And then the next one, take time to let God satisfy your longings. Open your hearts to God and let him reveal the depths of his love for you. And then it has a few verses. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Let that sink in. Then you read the next verse or two. And then going up a little bit. There we go. It's over. Okay, go back up to the top. Thank you very much, Pam, for doing that. Guys, I'm not saying you have to do this. But I would like to know that somebody wrote this, and I just had to write it down, and I'm going to read it to you guys. I'm not smart enough to write this, so I'm not going to take credit. It says, when we choose to place our trust and our value in God, we position ourselves to live in sweet relationship with the Father who loves us. He longs to meet with us. He longs for us to taste and to see that he is good. Only then can we experience the incredible, abundant life that God longs to give us. So again this morning, what is your main thing? And would you consider making your main thing for 2018, saying, I am going to make my main thing meeting with my Creator daily. I want to get to know him better, and I want to allow him to change me. If you do that, I guarantee you
that life will be good for 2018. You'll have ups and downs, but God can do amazing things with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we are thankful for your love for us. We are thankful that you as the Creator wanted to have relationship with us, and you desire that more than anything. And Father, would you help us in this room to know that our greatest need is to have a relationship with you. Father, bless the people here in this room, please. We are thankful for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.